So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
The 23rd Psalms. How many knows that the 23rd Psalms is not just a funeral sermon? It's not just a, just not something you do at the funeral. We're glad to have our team from Honduras. They're going to be leaving out in the morning at 5 sharp. Amen. We're going to be praying for them at the end of the service. They'll be going for 10 days. Is that right, Jillian? 9 days. It's going to feel like 10 days. Now, they'll be going for 9 days, and we're excited for them and what God's doing in them. And we're just believing. And those of you who haven't, are not friends with all of them on Facebook, man, the devil has been fighting and attacking family members personally. It's been crazy. But how many knows that when the enemy fights you like that, you know that God's getting ready to do something supernatural. Amen. So that's what we're believing. Amen. That's what we're believing. So the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Man, I don't know about you, but I love that. I mean, sometimes you just need to look for the Lord just to restore your soul. Remember, we've been talking about soul detox for the last 6 weeks. I got two more messages on it. I'm going to talk to you the number one threat against your future. Let me give you a clue. It's you. And that's the number one threat against your future. How do you know if you're the toxic one? Well, we're going to find out Sunday morning. He restoreth my soul. The soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And man, there are times that just life happens, right? There are times that life just happens, and you need God to restore your soul. Maybe you have given out and tried to help people and blah, 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 but you just are depleted. But I thank God that we can come to the Lord and say that, Lord, you restore my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they are what comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I don't know about y'all, but I got a little something in me that I like it when God does that. When he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. When he blesses me when other folks don't think I ought to be blessed. Come on, somebody. I love it, man. When God said, I know stuff on him. I can't believe God's blessing him. And I just go, hallelujah. His grace is sufficient. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. I love it when my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of Jehovah when it is convenient. That's modern Christianity. I will dwell in the house of the Lord when it is convenient for me to go. No, he said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We could say, I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as nobody hurts my feelings. I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as you keep blessing me. I will dwell in the house of the... Can I just tell you, which is a little off my message, but can I just tell you that surely goodness and mercy shall follow you? And sometimes goodness and mercy is following you, and it doesn't look like it's following you at the present time, but it's always there. If you're a child of God, it ain't far from you. You just keep doing what God's called you to do. You keep doing what you know to do, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow you, find you, and catch up with you. Can you say amen? Because you can't lose with the stuff I use, baby. And so let me go a little bit further. God wants us to learn. God wants you and me to learn how to live effectively and effectively and maturely with wisdom. Now, we're all living because we're all here, but he wants us to learn how to live effectively. Now, that's key. Because some of us live, but we don't do it effectively. Some of us live for God, but we don't do it effectively. Some of us, you know, I say all the time that if you're serving God and you're not enjoying yourself, then you're doing it wrong. And some people are trying to serve God and they're not effective because they're doing it wrong. They're serving God or they're serving religion instead of God. They have a relationship with the church instead of the God of the church. And they have a relationship with a denomination instead of the God of the denomination. You got to recognize that you got to have a relationship with God. I'm not married to marriage. I'm married to Sherry A. Reed. That's who I'm married with to. And it doesn't matter. You got to recognize in order for me to live effectively and to get everything that I can out of this thing, what we call Christianity, is that I've got to have a personal relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I've got to have a personal relationship that He speaks to me and I speak to Him. Not just on Sunday or on Wednesday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday that I talk to Him and He talks to me. Now listen to me. I know folks that the Lord, that they say God talks to them, but they don't live like God talks to them. Let me just move on before I get myself in trouble. God desires that we attain such a level. Well, this is key. God desires that we attain such a level of wisdom, hear me closely, that we can live in any circumstance, and we can thrive in any circumstance that we find ourselves in, that we don't just have to survive, but we can live in any environment successfully. Now that's tough. Well, Pastor, I tell you, because see, that's what these kind of people talk about. Well, if I just had the right house, if I just lived in the right neighborhood, if I just had the right job, if I had the right brakes, if I was the right color, if I was, no, baby, you got to learn to live in the environment in which you're in now. And it doesn't matter because God is good no matter what's going on around you. He said, I'm a good God. And God is God no matter what environment, whatever situation that you might find yourself in. I want you to know that God is good, and you might not think that He's good right now, but He is good, and it doesn't matter what you're going through, He's still good. But if you'll continue to believe that He is good, that He will be good to you in the land of the living. Good preaching, Pastor. See, the problem is the Church of America today, that we're too many people are victim of circumstances. That we worship based on our circumstances. We give based on our circumstances. We serve based on our circumstances. We witness based on our circumstances. You can tell how people had, how their week has been sometimes by how they worship. That they come to church and had a rough week, but because they had a rough week, they don't worship. Hold on to a chair. What I'm doing. Man, when you've had the worst week you've ever had, when you come into the house of God, you need to praise God on credit. You just need to give God praise on credit and give God glory. And you just come in and go, devil, I know who you are. I know your tactics. I know what you've been trying to do. But I'm going to go ahead and worship God, because surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, we can't afford to become victims of circumstances. We must become greater than our circumstances. Is God greater than your circumstances? Then if He is, then you've got to become greater than your circumstances, because as God is, He is in you. So you do not have to cower down to circumstances. You see, to do this, you need to understand that circumstances are always changing. Quickly, unexpectedly changing. Solomon noted this in Ecclesiastes 3 and 1. He said there's a time and a place for everything. Right? And then in Philippians chapter 4 verse 11, the Bible says, for I have learned to be content. I have learned in whatever state I am in, therein to be content. Now that doesn't mean just, okay, sirrah, sirrah, whatever will be. That doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean, well, bless God, you know, this is my lot in life. Well, you know, I guess, you know, I this is the one I get. You're having some hard time. You've been going through a hard time for 27 years. Well, I guess this is the will of God for my life. Well, it might be your stupid decisions. Good preaching. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Don't raise your hand. This is a trick question. Don't raise your hand. Anybody ever got mad on the job and quit and said, I didn't need you, but you did? Stupid decisions, right? Because you didn't learn how to live in a hostile environment. Well, Pastor, I don't like it. I'm not talking about learning to like where you are. I'm saying you got to learn how to live and do it successfully. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you haven't ever been put thrown into the pit like Joseph, turned on like from his brothers. You ain't been through the things that Joseph did. But every pit, every prison, every place that the devil tried to put Joseph, he would rise to the top because he learned how to adjust. He learned how to change. He learned to overcome the circumstances and refuse to be a victim of circumstances. Now, if we don't learn to behave when things change, we will be confined to a victim of circumstance status for the rest of our life. My God, somebody hear me. I should have saved this for Sunday. If you don't learn how to live there, you will be confined to a victim of circumstance status and mentality. I'm too stupid. I'm too broke. I'm unlearned. I'm this. I'm that. I can't do it. I can't do it. Blah, blah, blah. You know, well, that's for other people. No. For you, baby. You got to learn that circumstances change, but God does not. So contained in this psalm, there's two different environments and two different postures that I want to talk to you a little bit about tonight. Number one is this, the first environment. The first environment tells us, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Man, I like that environment. You ever been in that environment? Some of you go, no, I ain't ever been in that environment. I have. It's an incredible environment. It's been where just everything was just going great. I mean, man, you'd fall in a bucket of manure coming out smelling like roses. Come on, you'd fall in a bucket of manure and find $100 bills or something, man. I mean, just things were just, you know, man, certainly it was just going great. But this first environment, David talks about, and it gives off the connotation of peaceful. It gives off the connotation of tranquil. It gives off the connotation of being serene. It gives off the connotation that green, soft grass, the type that you want to lie down in. Come on, somebody. Ah, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. See, when I think about that, I think about, you know, years ago, I've seen it on movies. You know, they had feathers and they'd be fanning you. That's what I'm thinking about right there. Somebody feeding you grapes. Just chilling. Y'all don't want to get up here. My vivid imagination. That's what I think about. Gentle, flowing stream. That relaxes and refreshes. Anybody ever laid in a hammock or laid down beside a stream and it just trickling? And you're just like, and it just relaxes you. That's what I'm thinking of, this tranquil time. It's the environment the psalmist has made to lie down and rest, and his soul is restored. Man, don't you love going to sleep, waking up refreshed? Man, feel like you could go through hell with a wet newspaper and beat the devil up with it. You just feel like everything is going your way. You just feel like there's nothing you can't do. You just feel like that, man, if something happens, poof, Jesus is there, takes care of it, messes up the enemy, and there you go. In this environment, your soul's restored. But in one verse, talking about circumstances, In one verse, he goes from green pastures to the valley of death. Now, that sounds like real life. Oh, I just love my job. We're making cutbacks. Oh, me and my spouse, we're just, I want a divorce. Come on, you didn't even see it coming. Oh, I'm just going up for my yearly checkup. You got cancer. Oh, I'm just, you know, somebody stole your identity and they bought yachts all over the world. And you're broke. Come on now. In one verse, it goes from green pastures to the valley of death. Have you ever noticed how quickly things can change? You ever had your and I have because I'm a pastor. Have you ever had your world rocked with one phone call? Happened to us Friday. It happened to me when they called and told me my brother died. I mean, just one phone call can change your whole day. And one phone call, you can have your day planned, and one phone call completely messes up your day, and you go from green pastures to the valley of the shadow of death. As if in the twinkling of an eye, tranquility can turn to tragedy, peace can turn to panic, and calm can turn to chaos. Serenity can turn to insanity. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just like that, green soft grass turns brown, crusty and old. Peaceful flowing streams dry up or becomes a raging river and engulfs you. Things change, and when they do, you best know how to behave in the new season and in the new environment. My God, somebody hear me. I need to say that again. When things change, when situations change, when environments change, you best believe that you need to know how to act in the new season and in the new environment, because when environments change, we must change as well. I'm not talking about changing our morals, changing the Word of God, no. But you got to learn that there's a new season, and with new seasons, there are new devils. With their new levels, there are new devils. When there's a new season, you got to change some things the way that you used to operate. Your MO has to change. And if you don't learn how to change, then you're going to be stuck in a victim mentality, wondering why everybody else is enjoying life, and you're sitting there with your feelings hurt, and you're being toxic, and you're wondering, what's wrong with me? I'll tell you what's wrong with you. You didn't change when the season changed, and your season won't change just because you click your heels together three times and say, I'm tired of this season. Your season won't change until the season that you're in has completed its due process, its due season. Then your season will change. My God, somebody hear me. When summer gives way to winter, you got to make certain adjustments, don't you? I mean, when we turn to winter for 3 weeks, some things have to change. You put away your Bermuda shorts and get out your jacket, the one that you own. You prepare yourself for the new season. And the better, listen, oh good Lord, and the better you're prepared for it, the easier the transition. Oh, I better say that again. The better you're prepared for the season, the easier the transition is. Ah. See, some of you don't get prepared, and some of you don't stay prepared. You try to get prepared after the season has changed. No, you better know that the season that you're in will not always be the season that you're in. You got to recognize that seasons come, seasons go, seasons change, and all seasons are good. What good could come out of winter? Well, in the winter, God kills some stuff. Kill some bugs. Stuff that's bugging him. Stuff that's bugging you. Come on. Some stuff makes, in the winter, some stuff has to go deep in order to survive. My God, somebody hear me. You prepare yourself for the new season. Some seasons are more enjoyable than others, but all seasons are good and serve a purpose. All right, now you got to hear this. I think it's my next one, brother. A season only becomes intolerable if you're unprepared. A season only becomes intolerable is if you're unprepared. If you refuse to change. You know, this past January, I went out to Utah, and my wife and Roger and Jane and Rod and George Schuyler, we all went out there. Well, I promise you, when I went out there, I didn't really take my flip-flops. Because we were going to be snowing. It was going to be snowing. We were going to be in the snow. I didn't take my flip-flops. Matter of fact, well, I was going to say, I didn't even take a pair of shorts, but I did because they have a hot tub, so I did. But I didn't get in it. But anyway, so I changed. I prepared. And what I realized, my God, somebody hear me. I've been going to Utah since, good Lord, since Clay was 14. How old are you now, Clay? 24. So 10 years. And when I first started going out there, I didn't have the right clothing. And when you don't have the right clothing, the season that you're in is not good. I went and bought the stuff I thought I needed. But the stuff I thought I needed wasn't good enough to keep me where I needed to be in that season. My God, somebody hear me. Why? Because I didn't have enough information about the season and the clothing that I needed at the time. And that's why some of you are just existing instead of thriving, because you don't know enough of the word to blow your nose. You don't know enough of the word of God to, when the devil comes in like a flood, that you can say, my God shall lift up a standard against him. Oh, if God be for me, who can be against me? Ah. When our environment changes, we got to recognize the change and adjust. If not, you endanger yourself. It's like a person who refuses to recognize that it's in January and still walks around in tank top shorts and flip-flops in Minnesota. You're going to catch a death of cold, as my mama would say, and die. Right? Whew. The first environment. How about the second environment, Pastor? The second environment, the valley. Come on, go back one. Come on, stay with me. The valley of the shadow of death. The first environment was tranquil. The first environment was serene. The first one was a green pasture. But now he's in the valley of the shadow of death. And let me ask you this question. Is the valley of the shadow of death evil? No. It's just a place. I want you to hear me. It's just a place. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Hallelujah. David said, I will fear no evil, not even in this place. Whew. Is it an evil place? No, it's just a shadow of death. It's just a place. And if I know that God is with me, then I don't have to be afraid when I'm in the place of the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death. I don't have to be fearful because I know that he is with me. Now listen, it starts out like God saying, God, that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me. He led me beside the still waters. He led me beside the green pastures. He calls me to lie down in the green pasture. He calls me to be there. But he also led me by the valley of the shadow of death. And if God is leading me, then I'm going to be all right. I've just got to recognize that I'm in a different season. Woo! Glory to God. David said, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because even in this place, God is with me. No matter where you're at, you ain't got to fear, because God is with you in that place. God is in that place. When you got fired, God is in the place with you. If you know Jesus, he's in the place with you. When you got that bad report, God is with you in that place. When your spouse walked out, God is with you. And if God is with me, it don't matter who ain't with me. Because God is with me. We're in this place. For some reason, people suppose that God resides only in the pasture. Surely God can't be here. Now listen to me. I've been dealing with some people who say, well, God sent me through this trial. Well, he might have. But usually it's your stupid decisions. Let's just be real, all right? Well, this is a test. A test of your ignorance. Test of your stupidities. Test of your, that. I'm trying to be nice. But yes, does God test us sometimes? You know, but the Bible, let me move on. I ain't got time for that. Let me just move this. For some reason, people suppose that God resides only in the pasture. But the psalmist says that God is with me in the valley. If he's with me in the pasture, why wouldn't he be with me in the valley? Because I need him more in the valley than I did in the pasture. Because in the pasture, I'm not thinking about giving up, throwing in the towel. In the pasture, I'm not thinking about it. Why? Because my soul is being restored. I'm not thinking about that. Only when I get to the valley is when I really need Jesus on my side. Well, only in the valley is when I really need him there. For some reason, we forget that. Here's what the psalmist said. Your rod protects me. Protection. Your staff, which is authority, protect and comfort me. Where? In the valley. Because if he's God on the mountain, he's still God in the valley. If he's God up on the mountain, I say it again, he's still God in the valley. Ah, if he's God on the mountaintop, he's God in the valley. If he's God on the pasture or in the pasture, he is also God in the valley. You prepare a table, a feast for me, where? In the valley. Woo! I didn't get a feast in the pasture. That's where my soul was restored. I got the feast in the valley. Why? Because I need the nourishment of the feast so I can fight and keep the faith in the valley. Yeah. You prepare a table, a feast for me in the valley. Do you see that God is active in the valley? He's not over there just twiddling his thumbs, seeing what you're going to do. Now listen to me closely. Anytime when you're taking a test from God, anybody that knows anything about teaching, when you're taking a test, the teacher is silent. However, a good teacher will never give you a test of something he ain't already covered with you. My God, somebody hear me. Ah. A good teacher will never give you a test. Now, come on, am I talking right here, teacher? Any of the teachers in the house, am I talking right? They're not going to give you a pop quiz on stuff they haven't went over. But they might give you a pop quiz and you don't remember it because you wasn't paying attention. You wasn't paying attention, so therefore you think God didn't cover it. But my Lord, somebody go back. Just look back over what God's been doing in your life. Look back over what he's been talking to you. Look back over your devotion life. Look, some of you don't got a devotion life. Look back over your devotion and begin to look back what God's trying to say to you. And if you do, he has already given you a way to bear up under whatever they come your way. 2 Corinthians tell us, no temptation, nothing has come to you that has taking you by surprise, but God, oh my goodness, but God will make a way of escape every single time that he puts it on you. Would you just take about 30 seconds and give God a praise break? Come on, somebody. It is in the valley that you discover that God is bigger than your enemy. It's in the valley. How do you know that God can defeat the enemy? Because he did in the valley. How do you know he can defeat the powers of hell? Because he did with me. Come on, somebody. See, in the pasture, It's in the valley that you discover that God is greater than your enemies. If you never left the pasture, you would never know the greatness of God. All you would know is the goodness of God. You would know that He's good because He prepares. You would know that He's good on the pasture, good things, but you would know He's great when He delivers you out of the valley. He's a good God, but some of you only know Him as a good God, but I'll come by to tell you, He's more than just a good God. He's a great God. A great God that can deliver you out of whatever mess you have found yourself in. He can deliver you. You see, you would know His goodness, but you wouldn't know His greatness. In the valley surrounded by enemies, you discover that God is greater than anything that ever surrounds you. Hold on to Him and He'll walk you out of there. But even while surrounded by folks who despise you, by circumstances and spiritual powers who want nothing more than to steal, kill, and destroy you, God is able. God is able to provide you a feast in the midst of your enemies. You know, y'all pray for me because I like it when God does that. When everybody's gambling on when I'm going to fall. When everybody's gambling, I won't make it out of this. Oh, He's in this. When the devil's saying, He's in this pit, He ain't coming out. And God just says, poof, happy birthday. Here's a feast for you in the middle of, in the presence of your own enemies. I love it when God does that. Kind of reminds me of the time when the family left the church, back our first church, and they were our biggest tithers, a very small church. And they go, you'll never make it on our tithe without our tithe. Ooh, that made me mad. I was like, wait and see. And then God was able to purchase a bus, purchased a parsonage, and then thank God He come up there and saw it. He goes, well, whose is this? In my spirit, I went, booyah! Presence. A feast in the presence of my enemies. When they didn't think you was going to make it back from that. Oh, baby, just watch me rise. I will rise, my God, somebody. Look at somebody, tell them, I will rise. I'm not down for the count. I'm coming out of this thing. I'm going to rise, baby. I'm going to rise. God is able to prove that you with a feast and there ain't nothing that they can do about it. Good things happen in the valley. Great things happen in the valley. In the valley, you get to know God. Listen, I've been married for 32 years. Got married when I was 6. 32 years I've been married. And I laugh at the love I had for Sherry 32 years ago. I can't believe I got married on that little old mamby-pamby love. Oh, y'all can just act like y'all all that in a bag of chips if you want to. But I know, man, I laugh. But now that we've been the hell and back together, whoo, child. We done been through some stuff. That's the way it is with me and God. You know, I remember when I first got saved. He washed my sin away. He lifted the burden off of me. Yeah, I mean, it was great. But my God, when we went through some hell, and God was just stepped right into the situation and He covered me, said, "I got you." When His wings covered me, when His wings covered me, and no harm came against me, He said, "I got you." And when I came, my God, when I came out, I might have been scarred for me to remember how I was, but I still wasn't wounded. It wasn't infected. I came out and I remember what He brought me out of. I can't help but give Him praise. In the valley, you get to know God. In the valley, you get to know yourself. Well, I would never do that. Well, because you ain't ever had a chance to. What you're made of is revealed in the times of testing. You don't know if your love is developed until it is tested. You don't know if your faith is strong until your faith has to produce.
I got faith. I got faith. What you been through? Nothing. But I got some faith. I don't need to talk to you. I need to talk to somebody. I need to talk to somebody that said, my God, the devil almost killed me. I almost blew my brains. I almost lost it. I almost just jumped off a bridge. I'm going to tell you what, I didn't know if I could make it or not, but here I am, devil. Here I am. I'm still standing. I'm in my right mind, and I refuse to be a victim of circumstances. Hey. It is not the valley that is the problem. It is how you behave in it. See, some people get in the valley. Everybody see me? Some people just get in the valley and they just sit down. And all you do is, y'all pray for me. Y'all pray for me. Oh, Jesus. Listen to me online. Those of you that have been sick, do more than just y'all pray for me. Those of you that are just too lazy to come to church, I pray fleas find your house. Find their home in your armpit. Y'all pray for me. At some point in time, what about your faith? Well, but you don't know what I've been through. Well, you don't know my God then. You know, I think about the old adage when the old mule got down into the well. Everybody remember that story? He got down into the well and the old farmer couldn't pick him up, and so he said, I'll just go ahead and bury him alive and begin to throw dirt in there on him. And every time that he threw it, the old donkey would just shake it off and put it under his feet. Before long, he kept throwing dirt on, and every time that he would get dirt on him, he would shake it off, and he'd come up a little higher. He would come up a little higher. Now, if he sat there and let all this mess just get dumped on him, then he'd still be there today. But he kept shaking off. My God, I'm talking to somebody. You might be in the midst of a pit today. You might be in the midst of a well today. But you just shake it off and say, bless God, my faith. Even my faith. Whew. If you don't know what to do when problems arrive, then you have a problem. You ain't got a problem when they arrive. You got a problem when you don't know what to do when they arrive. Come on. Anybody ever been paralyzed by fear? We all have at some point in time. But here's what Proverbs 24 and 10. Now I got one, two. I got seven different translations for you, your perusal. Proverbs 24:10 says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. My Lord, that's probably 96% of Christians right there. Next one. If you are slack in the day of distress, all Proverbs 24:10, your strength is limited, New American Standard Version. The last one was English Standard Version. What's the next one? If you faint in a crisis, you are weak. How many of us, go back to that one right there, Roger. How many of us have done that? Something happened. Just give up. If you faint in a crisis, you're weak.
Well, Pastor, I'm not like you.
Well, why aren't you? Because this is the difference. Listen to me. Now I know somebody going to be offended. Somebody going to write me a letter. Go ahead and send it to my email address, PastorSteve@CrystalRiverCOG. I get people get mad. He stood on the Bible. Oh, shut up. I stand on the Bible every day of my life. But when you know the Bible,
and you really stand on the word of God, then you recognize that in my weakness, he is made strong. When everything else is sinking sand, his word stands. Let every man be called a liar, but the word of God be the truth. If you faint in a crisis, you are weak. If you give way in the day of trouble, your strength is small. God's word translation. If you give way in the day of trouble. You know, because some people are strong as long as everything's good. Listen, I remember Jimbo Reed. And Jimbo Reed's a great man of God now. Great man of faith, pastors, a great church over in somewhere in Mississippi. He's my cousin. We used to party together. God saved him and then saved me. And I remember, boy, the Lord, he said, boy, I'm living on faith. And man, I was just blown away because he lived by faith. He didn't have a job. He was living by faith. And then later on, about a few months later, he come to me all upset. Because that living by faith stuff wasn't working. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I had $10,000 in the bank. I said, oh, you weren't living by faith. You was living by that $10,000 you had in the bank. But then he really started living by faith. Right? All right? So there's a difference. There's a difference. If you don't ever go through trouble, you know, I can tell you I'm the strongest man in the world if nobody ever challenges it. I could pick up 100 tons. Well, you don't know if you never challenge it. If thou lose, this is for those who need a thou and a thee. If thou lose hope, being weary in the day of distress, thy strength shall be diminished. If thou losest courage in the day of trouble, thy strength is small. So, baby, I just gave you all them just to tell you there ain't no way around it. If your faith is weak, you ain't much to you. I knew one guy, and you know, God help him. He's gone on. He's passed away since then. When he first got saved, he'd come around me. He goes, Pastor, I don't understand all these people talking about begging, having to plead with God to do stuff. He said, I just ask God, and it just happens. I was like, wow, that's incredible. He said, man, I just ask God for anything, and it just, poof, happens. He said, I got a lot of faith. I go, okay. I said, now, son, he was a little younger than me. I said, now, son, when tough times come, because they will. They will come. I don't care how much faith you got. They will come. You just live long enough, they're going to come. When tough times come, just remember to hold on to his unchanging hand. All right? All right, I got to quit. Number three. I got 6 minutes. Number three. In the pasture, he lay down. In the valley, he walked. All right, in the valley, he laid down. But in the pasture, he laid down. But in the valley, he walked. See, there's a different posture that's needed. Why y'all coming? I didn't ask y'all to come up here. No, I'm just kidding. Y'all go ahead. Everybody trying to shut me down all the time. Broderick trying to push me to go faster. Now they just say, "Oh, you don't preach long enough. Let me just play." I just messing with you. In the pasture he laid down, in the valley he walked. Look at your neighbor and tell him, walk it out. Now I'm going to talk to every man that's above the age of 40. Every man. We don't do this anymore because we got a little bunch of pancakes. But anyway. I know I said that out loud, didn't I? But how many men in here over 40, maybe 30, but 40 for sure, you got hurt. What'd your daddy say? Walk it off, son. Suck it up. Walk it off. But daddy, I cut my leg completely off. Walk it off, boy. Rub a little dirt on it. Remember that? Rub a little dirt on it. You'll be all right. Pick it up. Take it with you. When you're in the pasture, when you're in the pasture, you lie down. But if you lie down in the valley, they're going to bury you there in the valley.
if you lie down in the pasture, you're all right. But if you lie down in the valley, that's where you will lay for the rest of your life. Well, then what do I got to do? Well, let's go back to the text. In the valley he lied down, but yea, though I walk. Yea, though I bust a move. Yea, though I get up. Yea, though I dust myself back off. I'm in the valley. I can't lay down, because if I lay down, I won't get back up. So when I'm in the valley, I got to walk, even if I just got to do it slowly. I just got to put one foot in front of the other, because I've got to walk out of this situation. Why do you even go to church? Because I'm walking it out. God has forsaken you. Oh, I know God. He hadn't forsaken me. I don't know what's going on right now. I don't know if I'm in a test or if it's my stupid decisions, but I'm going to keep on walking, because I know that if I walk, God will bring me out of this valley. I'm not going to lay down. I'm not going to lie down. I'm not going to let people bury me when I'm not dead. Some folks lose courage in the day of trouble. Some folks lose hope and grow weary. Lose the ability to move. Walk it out. You got to make a move. You got to walk it out. During youth camp, one of my best friends, David Pleasant, his boy was sick. We had him over there on a cot. We'd given him some medicine. We'd prayed for him. The next thing I know, he was laying there. He just got up, headed back to his cabin. His name was David Jr. I said, "Little Dave." I said, "Where are you going, son?" He stopped, squared his shoulders back. He said, "Sometimes you just got to speak to it." And begin to walk on. My Lord, quit letting everybody put stuff on you. Quit letting everybody tell you stuff that's wrong with you, and you speak to it. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to lie here anymore. I'm going to walk it out. I'm not going to beat my, I'm not going to beat myself up anymore. I'm not going to let it. I'm going to get over what I've been going through. When your season has changed, when your grass in the field turns brown and the stream has dried up, put one foot in front of the other and walk it out. Because there's a time and a place to rest. See, that's one of the problems. We don't know when to rest. There's a time and a place to rest, but then there's a time and a place to walk. You know, listen. Remember, guys, at man camp, John Bergen told us about surviving the wilderness. John told us that in the brightest, when it's the hottest, stay still and lie down. And in the coolest, when you walk. Well, I'm not talking about surviving the wilderness of this earth. I'm talking about surviving your wilderness. And when it's hottest is when you better walk. Rest when you can, but you better walk when you can. You got to walk. Walk it out. See, several translations say, in Luke, let me give you this. In Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 30, I won't read it for time's sake. But Luke verses 4, or verse 4, 14 through 30. It's about when Jesus was in there teaching, and he said that I am the Son of God, and everybody got mad at him. And the Bible says, picks up in 14, and all the people, in verse 28, I'm sorry. And all the people in the synagogue were filled with rage as they heard these things. And they got up and drove him, Jesus, out of the city and led him to the brow of a hill, which their city had been built in order to throw him off the cliff. But in verse 30. But passing through their midst, He went his way. Passing through their midst, he went their way. See, you better learn when to fight and when to walk. You know that Jesus could have revealed who he was. Jesus could have revealed, could have Jesus said, you ain't throwing me off. Matter of fact, throw me off. Watch me float. He didn't do that. What did he do? He just passed through their midst. He just walked through them. Nobody tried to stop him. He just walked. See, some of y'all trying to fight when you should walk. And some of you are trying to walk when you should lie down. Walk it out. When your situation changes, don't sit down. Walk it out. Because it's easier to steer a moving car than one that's standing still. When things change, Jesus didn't freak out or trip out. He didn't freeze up. He didn't just stand there. He began to walk. He didn't try to figure out. So many of us try to figure out why things changed. But what changed? I don't know. The season was just over. Matter of fact, we think we got it figured out that summer starts on, what is it, June 23rd, 1st, 21st. But if you live in Florida, in my opinion, it started last weekend. Last weekend was winter. It was 85 degrees at man camp. Mosquitoes? What are you saying? I'm just telling you that a season doesn't change just because there's a number attached to it. It changes when it's finished its course. Come on, stand to your feet. Quit trying to figure it out. Move. Just move. Spirit Life Team, come quickly. Man, I'm telling you, I feel the presence of the God in this place. I'm going to tell you, and you know, if you're new to our church and you don't understand all this, it's all right. It's all good. It's all good. We ain't going to put nothing on you. It's all good. But I'm going to tell you what I sense and feel right now. I don't know if anybody else feels this. I feel like a chain breaking, position changing anointing in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where are you at? Where are you at in your walk with God? Where are you at in your walk? Where are you at in your season? Now, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that one can put 1,000 to flight, talking about devils, and two can put 10,000 to flight. So if you're at a place in your life, maybe you're in the valley, and you need the strength to stand, you might need some folks to pray with you. Or maybe you're in the pasture, and you just want to make sure you don't stay there too long. Maybe you don't know where you're at. Maybe you're as confused as a termite and a yo-yo. You don't know which way's up. Whatever it is, they're going to begin to minister here. And I want you to step out of your seat and let's come up here for prayer. Maybe you don't need prayer, but you just want to come up and go, God, here I am. Come on, begin to move right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, God, help us to walk it out. Help us to walk it out. Help us to walk it out. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah. Come on, yoke destroy. Yoke destroying. Yoke destroying. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.